Good morning. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So to help you get ready, I have a special message for you. I call it The Three Kinds of Love, which I have adapted from a talk by Josh McDowell. My hope is that it changes your life and gives you a better Valentine's Day. In the Mark 14, 3 through 9 passage that was read, we have the story of a woman who wasted some expensive perfume on Jesus. What I would like to focus on is the different things we waste in our day-to-day lives, especially here in the beginning of our time together. We typically waste things like food, and time, money, and even our lives. Now, some of us are blessed with a long life and some of us with a short life. Some of us realize that it's not the length of life that matters, but what we do with it. The fact is that sometimes people waste their lives, especially young people. People waste their lives living for themselves or living for something smaller than themselves. And young people are not the only ones who waste their lives. Older people do too. And do you know why? They wasted their lives as young people, and no one ever told them to stop wasting their lives or taught them how to stop. Well, if this describes you in any way, I've got good news and I've got bad news for you. First, the good news. The good news is you don't have to waste your life anymore. The bad news is that some of you will keep on wasting your lives anyway. Now, I want to begin by sharing some reasons why people, and in particular young people, waste their lives. But like I said before, this is also equally true of adults. So as I go through some of these reasons, ask yourself, do any of these sound familiar to me? So the first one, maybe you have bad examples to follow. And it's not just young people who waste their lives, like we said before. It's plenty of adults also have wasted their lives. They started when they were young. Or maybe everyone else you know is wasting their lives. You don't want to be different, especially as a young person. You would rather fit in with the crowd and waste your life too, even though you really don't want to. So you want to look good in your friends' eyes, to be like them and fit in with the crowd, so you waste your life like they do. Or maybe no one told you to stop wasting your life. Now, this is particularly true of adults. Or no one warned you that it was a bad idea, or that you were developing habits that would be difficult to stop when you got older. And maybe there's nothing else to do, so you get bored. And it does seem like fun, at least in the beginning. Now, especially in Micronesia, I found this to be true. Maybe it's one way for you to stay in control of something in your life, especially since you're not in control of much else. Everyone is always telling you what to do anyway, so it makes you feel good about being in control of something. Consequently, it's one way for you to show your anger. You're tired of being told what to do by these people in your life, these authority figures, and not being able to decide for yourself. So this is a way to get even with these people. And maybe you've been hurt and you want to get even or get back at the people who hurt you. And wasting your life seems like a good way to do that. You don't really think that through a lot, but anyway, that seems to be a motivating reason sometimes. And then maybe you don't have any more hope. You look around and realize that this is about as good as it's ever going to get for me. And you don't see any way to escape and no way to improve your situation. And there's nothing left for you to do, no place left for you to go. And that relates to the next one. Maybe you don't have a purpose. You don't know why you're here on the earth. You didn't ask to be born. But here you are anyway. And you just don't understand why God made you. And then this last reason. Maybe you're lonely. You feel unloved. And you believe nobody cares. It's this last one I'd like to talk about. Most people waste their lives looking for love because they have the wrong idea about love. And when you have the wrong idea about love, you look for it in wrong places. And there are actually three kinds of love I'd like to talk to you about this morning. As I describe them to you, use them as a mirror to look at your own life and the relationships you now have with your friends, your parents, your girlfriend or boyfriend, and even with your spouse if you have one. And if you don't, you still think about love sometimes though, right? So let's begin. The first type of love is the only kind of love many people ever know. And it's what I call love if. Love if is a taking kind of love. Let me show you what I mean. Love if is the love you and I give or receive when certain requirements are met. You have to do something to earn it. This is what it sounds like. If you are good, I will give you my love. If you meet my expectations, if you satisfy my desires, if you will go out with me, I will love you. Parents often communicate this kind of love to their children. They may not use these exact words or even words at all, but the message is still the same. If you'll get good grades, if you'll choose a different set of friends, if you'll dress or act in a certain way, then you will have my love. Now, this kind of love is usually given by someone in exchange for something the other person wants. Girls, especially single girls, be very careful if a guy says to you, "I'll love you if you have sex with me." This is love if. Its motivation is basically selfish. Its purpose is to gain something in exchange for love. Love if always has strings attached. As long as the conditions are met, things are fine. When the conditions are not met, love stops flowing. Sadly, this kind of conditional love almost always destroys itself because sooner or later, one person will fail to meet the requirements or expectations of the other person. Now, relationships based on this kind of love don't last very long. Most marriages are based on this kind of love. When the expectations stop being met, love if often turns into resentment because you feel cheap, used, and not good enough. And the really bad news is that most of the time, the persons involved with this kind of love never even know why. So that's love if. Now, the second type of love is the most popular kind of love. I call it love because of. This is also a taking kind of love. Here, let me show you what I mean. In love because of, the person is loved because of something he is, something he has, or something he does. In other words, the love is produced by a certain condition or quality in the life of the one being loved. Love because of sounds like this. I love you because you are pretty. I love you because you're rich. I love you because you give me security. I love you because you're so different from all the others. Because you're so popular. Because you're so athletic. Because you're so smart, etc., etc., etc. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, love because of sounds pretty good to me. I want to be loved for what I am, for the qualities in my life. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Maybe. All of us want to be loved for something in our life, and it's certainly better than love if. The if kind of love has to be earned and requires a lot of effort. Having someone love us because of what we are makes us feel better about ourselves. We know there is something about us that is lovable. But this kind of love soon becomes no better than trying to earn the if kind of love. It's a shaky foundation to build any lasting relationship upon. Let me show you why. There's basically two reasons. First, there's what I call the problem of more. What do I mean by that? Well, what happens when someone comes along who has more of the quality that you have and that you are loved for? You see this all the time, especially in the movies in Hollywood. Suppose your looks are what makes the boys go crazy over you. What happens when a girl who is more beautiful than you comes along? Will it threaten your love? Probably. Will it make you become jealous? Definitely. Secondly, there's another problem with love because of, and it's found in the fact that most of us are really two different kind of people at the same time. We're like a human M&M, a very nice-looking person with an image to maintain on the outside. But then there's the real you, the deep down inside you, that very few people really know, if at all. Like an M&M candy, there's the hard, shiny outer shell, you know, the cute, perky, the nice, shy, the cool clothes, the hair, no hair, and the image goes on. It's what we put on the exterior. And then there's that soft, mushy, dark, chocolatey center. The real you, the you nobody else sees, unless you show it to them, unless you take the risk to show it to them. The you only you know about, the real you that you don't like. And so you can't ever let anyone else see this real you, because if you don't like yourself, if you don't like the real you, why do you think anyone else would either? You see, that's what we believe. The person who is into this love because of is truly afraid of letting the other person know what he or she is really like deep down inside. They are afraid that if the truth were known, they would be less accepted, less loved, and therefore more rejected. Now, let me give you an example of love because of. There was a lady in a church that I used to attend on Guam more than 30 years ago who was once young and very beautiful. She was a Jimmy D. Chamorrita who was happily married and had two boys. But she had a car accident a few years before Ann and I met her. She was in a coma for 4 months and almost didn't live. But she came through. She came out of the coma. But when she did, she didn't look like the same person. She was scarred from operations on her legs and her body and her face. She would never walk the same again. Her speech was slurred and slow. Because of this, her husband divorced her, left her, and her two boys as well. Now, this happened because her husband had a love because of relationship with her, as well as her two boys. But the husband loved her based on the way she looked. When those qualities changed, the love disappeared. Let's talk about another example. You. Most of you are testing out this kind of love right now. That's right, you. Right now, this year, this week, today. That's why a lot of you are stressed out when it comes to your relationships, especially if you're young and single and you're just not sure if you can keep up with the competition. Or maybe you're just tired of all the competition. And like I said, if you happen to be fairly young and you're feeling pretty miserable and insecure because you're still growing and changing on the outside where you base a lot of your acceptance. And if this is what you did as a young person, it doesn't change much when you've grown older. None of us are actually the same person we were a year ago because we look different and we are different. Your looks are changing, your body is changing, your abilities are changing. Everything about you is constantly changing. Now, thankfully, there is a third kind of love. This love is so shocking, so beautiful, that I wish everyone in this room this morning would bend down to accept it. It's what I call love period. It's love, and you just stick a period on the end. This is love without conditions. That's why it's love, period. It sounds like this. I love you no matter what you may be like deep down inside. I love you no matter what you're like. I love you no matter what changes about you. You can't do anything to turn off my love. I love you, period. Now, this type of love, love period, is the kind of love where you know a lot about the other person, but you love him or her anyway. You know the other person's shortcomings, but you love him or her anyway. You know the other person's faults, yet you totally accept the other person without demanding anything in return. It's different from love if, because there's no way you can earn this kind of love. You can't do anything to increase it, and there's nothing you can do to turn it off. It has no strings attached. It is different from love because it isn't produced by some attractive quality or any quality at all in the person who is being loved. Matter of fact, this kind of love is not a getting type of love. It's just the opposite. It's a giving love because it is dependent on the person giving the love, not on the person receiving the love or the person being loved. This kind of love can't wait to give. The other two kinds of love can't wait to get. The way you spell love, period, is G-I-V-E. It's freely giving of yourself. There's no room for fear or frustration or pressure or envy or jealousy in this kind of love. This kind of love would love even the most worthless, ugly, and offensive person you know, as if he or she had infinite worth. Whether you realize it or not, love, period, is more important to you than anything else. This is the kind of love we all long for. If you are not presently experiencing this kind of love, you are still hoping that someday you will. If you live life very long without this kind of love, you will eventually begin to experience despair and hopelessness. It's the lack of this kind of love that drives some people to commit suicide. Love, period, can only be experienced by a complete and fulfilled individual, one who doesn't have to constantly take from another person's life to fill the empty spaces in his or her own life. Only a fulfilled person is truly free enough to give this kind of love in a relationship with another person without demanding anything in return. Because love, period, is a giving love. It's a love that changes you. Actually, as most of you already know, it's the way God loves you. When you receive God's love, He pours the same kind of love into you and then through you into another person's life. And it's so irresistible that it actually draws out the best in the person you are loving. It causes changes in the other person. The other person changes not because you are demanding that he or she change, but simply because he or she wants to change. It's a natural response to experiencing unconditional love in your own life. This kind of love says, you don't have to perform for me. You don't even have to change for me. This kind of love produces in me a natural desire to be the type of person I know the other one wants me to be. I don't have to be a certain way. I just want to. It's the natural response to love, period. And the result is you change. This kind of love changes you. But we have a choice to make at this point. First, don't waste your life looking for the wrong kind of love. God's love is there, ready for you to receive. Don't waste your life looking for love in the wrong places. And don't get tricked by someone who loves you with love if or love because of. The key to not wasting your life, as we began our time together this morning thinking about, is daily surrendering to the God who is the origin of this third type of love, love, period. This kind of love only comes from God Himself. No individual has this kind of love within himself or herself naturally. A person must receive Jesus Christ Himself into their lives in order to experience this kind of love. Then God can freely implant this kind of love at the very center of that person. And all we have to do is daily surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as we go about developing our relationships and loving people. Now, Jesus described the process that I just talked about in Matthew 16, 24 to 25. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way, give up your own way, take up your cross, and daily follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And I can guarantee you, you will experience the love, period, kind of love that only Jesus can give, and you will be able to freely give it away to others as well. Have a happy Valentine's Day. Let's pray. I pray that you and your love has freely been poured out into our lives as we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus. And if anyone here this morning has not done that, I pray that they would surrender to you and receive you by faith and trust you. And I pray, Lord, for those here that maybe have been chasing after the wrong kind of relationships or using the wrong kind of love or trying to find the love if or love because of and realizing it hasn't worked. I pray, Lord, that you would instill in us a desire to have this godly, only from you kind of love that makes us givers and not takers. And Lord, for any mistakes that maybe we have made in the past, because we've chased the wrong kind of love or have gotten tricked by the wrong kind of love, Lord, we just ask that you would just be changing us as we receive your unconditional kind of love into our own lives. Lord, this Valentine's Day, may we be givers and not takers. And I pray these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, see you later. Bye-bye.